Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, good morning, gardeners. Welcome back, or welcome to Gardening Naturally. Rainy day. Yay! We want rain. It's not bad now. The worst, the big red band is moved to the east. Folks out east, you're going to get some rain coming. Probably getting a bunch of rain right now in Elgin. So always be aware. Okay? Be aware. You would be surprised how a simple rainstorm can turn into a disaster in a hurry. So be aware of what's going on out there. Now, this rain is something we really needed. I just went and looked at a rain gauge, and I got between 1/2 and 3/4 of an inch, almost dead middle. And that's today. I emptied the gauge yesterday. So that's a okay amount. I would like a little more. There is still rain falling where I live, so I may get more before the day's out. But you need to remember, when we have, I would call this nearly normal weather. It's been a tad warm, but nearly normal weather for this time of the year. And we get 1 inch of rain. You don't have to run your sprinklers for a week. That should be enough rain to soak the soil and make everybody happy. Now, undoubtedly, there are plants here growing that are pickier. They're going to want more water. Well, this week is looking like it has a rain possibility, a significant rain possibility, every day of the week. So before you go crazy and decide you got to run out there and water stuff, try to rely on the rain. Rain is so much better in terms of the quality of the water than what comes out of your well or city water supply. I don't want to say that there's a problem with either one of those. There is not. Public water supplies in Texas are some of the best. It's one of the advantages of living over all this limestone. It acts as an amazing filter and takes out so much junk out of the water. We get some of the cleanest water in the country due to our water departments here in Texas. But rainwater is the gold standard. Rainwater in Texas, pretty much everywhere in Texas, falls to the ground with a pH of about 5.7. I got that next number from the Texas Water Development Board. Didn't make it up. And they've studied this for many years. Slightly acidic is amazing because our soil is so alkaline. The advantage of that is it makes certain nutrients more available to your plants. You will probably see your turf get really green. If you fertilized your turf for spring and you're getting this rain, you're going to see that turf really brighten up. It should look nice and green. It's weird because we put in St. Augustine grass, but it's not the biggest fan of alkaline soil. It was developed in Florida and then hybridized 100 different ways to get it to grow here. But it likes a more acidic soil. And this rain will give it what it needs to really shine for you. So take advantage of it. We all know that while we may get a week's worth of rain this week, we will have periods of time this summer where we will go almost a full month with no rain at all. And that will make a very, very bad impact. So take advantage of it. Build up that mulch. Build up that compost. Develop that soil. Make it a way that you are keeping as much of the water as possible around as long as possible. Let it soak as deep as it can, and you will see you will develop a better and better tilt for your soil. And the better that gets, the better the growing environment. The better the growing environment, the better the turf grass, roses, trees, shrubs, vegetables, the better everything will grow. And it doesn't require a great deal of work. Maybe twice a year I go out and check the mulch. And if I take a rake with me, I can kind of like fluff it up. It'll get packed down a little bit. But if I take a rake with me, I can kind of scratch it and fluff it back up. And that will tell me, do I need to get any more? I may not. It may be a fine quantity. And a couple of times a year, getting some compost down will amaze you in the kind of output you'll get. You want to see turf and you want to see what compost can do? Buy one bag of a good quality compost. Don't care what kind, don't care where you get it. Take that compost and spread it out about half an inch thick over a place in your yard. Pick the ugliest spot. Pick the spot where things don't seem to be growing well. Thin that out. It should cover like 16 square feet, maybe more, at half an inch thick. And just leave it there. Let the rain fall. Let the rain soak those nutrients, that organic matter, into the soil. And that spot that's never looked good in your yard, always been kind of dull or even bare ground, you will see it start to return to good turf. And that's only with a single bag of compost. It will make such a difference, you won't believe what you did with so little effort. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. Gotta take a quick break. Be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Catherine. Catherine, what can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. I had a plethora of weeds in my yard this year. I'm still battling them. And I just heard you talking about the 20% vinegar, which I've used. And you're right, it works great. What I'm wondering, because I just had such an overwhelming amount of them this year, I'm wondering what is a right pre-emergent to use, and also what would be the time to put it on?
Okay. We recommend the product called corn gluten. Several places sell it. You can find it at feed stores. You apply it twice a year. You could technically put it down the first of every single month to work on getting rid of weeds, except its cost. It is not the cheapest product to use. Mm-hmm. So we recommend twice a year, which would make the biggest impact on the most common weeds you see. Your next time to apply would be end of September to middle of October, because that's when the weather will cool off. The weeds will try to start growing their, will start emerging to try to make their spring weeds. So September to October time frame. The second time is end of February to middle of March. That will get rid of the summer weeds that are going to try to come up. It can be very effective. A couple of people yesterday commented on how well it worked. It is easy to use, and it also happens when it's done doing its little bit of let's kill weeds, it turns into a fertilizer, which never hurts the lawn. So there's that benefit of it, but it does do a great job. And you made the point, it is a pre-emergent. If something's already growing, the corn gluten's not going to stop.
Jeff, is it a, is this product a powder or a liquid? How do you apply it?
Interesting question. It is kind of a granular. It's cornmeal. Well, it's not cornmeal. It has that meal appearance to it. You could spread it with a bare hand if you wanted to. But there is a liquid version of it. You hook it to a hose end sprayer and you spray and you get the same effect.
The only difference, that's my kind of job right there.
Got me there. Yeah, one hand holds the sprayer, one hand holds your favorite drink. I mean, that's the best way to do anything.
Now, yeah. Okay.
There's a problem.
Nice.
There's a problem with this. You got to understand the corn gluten, the granular, turns into a fertilizer when it's done.
The
liquid does not. The liquid is the pre-emergent, and when it's done, it's done. It's not going to fertilize anything.
So you
got to make the choice. Yeah, which one you want to do.
Yes, sir. Oh, that's great information. Thank you so much.
You bet, and good luck. I mean, I know the weeds have been going crazy now that we've gotten nice temperatures and rain.
Yeah.
Let's answer a question that was texted to me. Does corn gluten keep blue bonnets and other flower seeds, wildflower, I think is the word they wanted, wildflower seeds from germinating? Yes. It is a pre-emergent. If you have a seed, whether it's for a blue bonnet or a thistle or poison ivy, it's going to try to stop it from growing. If the plant is already growing, you've already got the little bluebonnet rosette, you already see thistles growing, the corn gluten is not going to do anything. It is a pre-emergent. So if you want to use it, you have to decide, do I put down new seeds? Because if you do, you can use the corn gluten after they've germinated. If you put down corn gluten, you shouldn't put any seeds down for about 6 weeks. The corn gluten will be doing its job for about a 6 week time period. So you have to time these things out and figure out which one do I want more. Now, most people won't use the corn gluten where they got bluebonnets. It's really looked at keeping your turf as weed-free as you can. But it doesn't always work that way. Some folks want the wildflowers, but not the wild weeds. You can use the corn gluten if your wildflower is already growing. But if it's still a seed, the corn gluten is going to try to kill it. And that will be disappointing and somewhat expensive. You know, bluebonnet seeds aren't free for the most part. Speaking of bluebonnet seeds, how many of you have already mowed your bluebonnets? Remember, you do not mow your bluebonnets until the blossom is completely gone. And you want to see those little pea pods form and start to crack open. If you mow before that time, you are breaking the seed cycle. You may actually be breaking the seed before it's mature, which means you won't get any new bluebonnets. You want bluebonnets to bloom and look spectacular, and then you have to grit your teeth and let them look kind of ugly. Let them form their seed pods. And even when they have a seed pod, you still don't want to mow it until you start seeing a few of those seed pods split open. That's how you can control the bluebonnets, have a nice field of them, and the next year have more because you're spreading those seeds out through mowing, but you're not ruining the seeds. So if you've already mowed your bluebonnets, I have not, and they look terrible. I don't have a huge batch of them this year, but I figure another week, well, I can't mow now anyway, the grass is too wet, but I figure in another week, if we can ever dry out long enough that I can mow, I'm going to mow over them now. I let them grow. I gave them their space. I let them look beautiful. Then I let them look pretty darn ugly just so I can hopefully get more and more bluebonnets every year. You do not mow bluebonnets while they're blooming. You will interrupt the seed cycle, and you may not wind up with any bluebonnets the next year. So keep that in mind. I guess I'm giving you an excuse to not have to mow. See, I told you, I'm efficient with labor. You should be listening to me so you don't have to work so hard. Seriously, folks, don't be mowing your bluebonnets when they're still blue. Give them, after the bloom, give them 4 weeks, at least 4 weeks to produce those seeds that when you mow, you're going to help spread out everywhere. They may look bad. It's okay. Just remind yourself how good they looked when they were in bloom. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally, coming to the bottom of the hour. I need to break for the news. I will catch you on the other side.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Robert. Robert, what can I help you with?
Morning. Yes. Yesterday you were referring to southern peas as a tandem to tomatoes. And so my question would be, A, is it too late to do those from seeds? And B, can you describe for my mind's eye whether you had like a wall of peas with tomatoes in the middle? Can you kind of describe how your setup is?
Got it. Sure. Okay. First off, it is not too late to plant the southern peas, black-eyed, pinto, turtle, purple, etc. You could put those in the ground now, and they will grow through the summer. They are something that will really handle the weather. Do what you can when you choose to get ones that are not vining. Unfortunately, peas are considered to be semi-vining. So if you're planting now and your tomatoes are already growing, great. If you've planted already and you're just now getting little tomato starts in, they may get covered and overwhelmed by the peas.
Yeah, no matter about 3 feet tall, too.
Oh, yeah, you're good to go. I planted mine in a line, literally down the middle of the bed. When I had 2 tomatoes, I planted peas directly between them.
Peas first and then tomatoes. Okay.
Yeah. So let's say your bed is 2 feet wide. I think mine's about 2 feet. Just ran them right down the middle. The tomatoes went in first and started growing, but we followed up with the peas not long after that. And they are growing right now. They're maybe 18 inch tall. And I'm going to leave them there. The winter cold, if we freeze, we'll kill them. So I don't have to do any work to get rid of them. If we don't freeze, you got to remember to cut them down. You can't pull them out. You want to leave all those roots in the ground to make that really good soil and put the nitrogen back.
So no trellis then?
No, I don't have a trellis at all. When I've grown these before, they got pretty bushy, and they actually had a little bit of vine on them. Like I said, they're semi-vining, but they held themselves up okay without the trellis, so I didn't bother. I'm not growing them to eat them, though I don't know. Oh. It depends on how they look, but I will simply cut them down or let them freeze when I'm done with them.
Why not eat them?
Okay. I'm not a native Texan. I don't like black-eyed peas. I think they're disgusting. So, yes, I know I have offended a lot of people, but just not a fan of the peas.
Okay, but for those that might want to eat it, there is a non-vining version.
Yeah, there is. And if you can let the pea dry on the vine. Pick it when it's dry, pop them out, cook them. Mm-hmm. Or many of these peas, you can harvest like a green bean.
Yeah.
Pintos, a friend of mine turned me on to these. We picked pinto beans while they were still nice and green and cooked them like a bean. Man, they were delicious.
Oh, wow. Well, you're deviating from your hate of...
Yeah, I know. I know. I haven't done that in a very long time, though. I broke myself of that habit.
Okay, well, I'll look for a non-vining one. I was trying to imagine a trellis and then the tomatoes somehow work through there, so I think I got the picture.
No, there are bush ones. You can get peas that are bush type, and you should not have to trellis them.
Okay, I'll give it a whirl. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, folks, the peas, southern peas, are legumes. Their plants take nitrogen out of the air and convert it into a form that they store in their roots. There's actually a bacteria called rhizobium that does that. As the plant grows, it stores more and more nitrogen. At some point, when you kill the plant, you have to kill it to get it to give up that nitrogen. It's not going to share, but you cut it down, you let it freeze, whatever. Those roots will release that nitrogen back into the soil, and the roots will decompose in place, meaning you get this great tilth and a good, rich soil that has built up nitrogen, which means the next crop is going to really appreciate it and grow well. And like Robert said, you can eat them. I don't. I'm just not a fan of them. Don't blame me. But black-eyed peas, turtles, purple hull, cream, zippers, all those varieties, you can eat them while they're still a green, while they're a green bean with peas in the pod, or you can let them dry on the vine, shell them, and use the peas later. Let's go to the phone. This is Todd. Todd, what can I help you with?
Hello, Jeff. Have a question for you about, I've got a pretty large thicket of naturally growing yaupon. These aren't planted. It's out east, and I was wondering what your opinion is on using, found a product called Tordon.
Oh. Sorry, that's a bad one, because if Tordon gets onto a ruminant's feed, meaning a grass eater's feed, it doesn't break down. It can take it 500 days to reach its half-life. And if a ruminant eats it and then ejects it out the other end of the animal, that manure still has Tordon in it. And when you put it on the soil, it'll kill your plants. So it still acts as an herbicide even after it's been eaten and pooped out the back end of the animal. Now, that in mind, if you're trying to get rid of the yaupon, and I've had ones that I've had to do that to, and dug up the roots, man, that was several weekends worth of effort to really get rid of it all. Consider
something. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah. Consider something other than Tordon. I don't want to recommend any of these chemicals, but I understand the situation you're in. Roundup does work, and it is not something that will wind up being a secondary plant killer. If a cow eats Tordon-laced hay, the manure out of the cow has got Tordon in it, and it can really harm a garden, a farm, things like that. Roundup, not a fan of it. I know all the risks with Roundup, but it will work, and it doesn't have that secondary effect to wind up killing a lot of other plants. Just follow the directions. You're probably going to spray. Be careful what you're spraying and only spray what you want to kill. And you will be able to defeat it. Now, it'd be great if you don't happen to have like a skid loader or anything, do you?
I do.
It would really be great if you could get the use of skid loader to pull the plant out of the ground. There is various hitches you can get for your skid loader that brush grabbers, they're called. When you pull on the hitch, these two paddles come together really, really tight to get a hold on the trunk. And then when you go to drive away, you pull the trunk out of the ground. It's easier when the soil is moist, but just killing the plant, you're going to want to cut all of that down or pull it out anyway. So follow the directions. Don't spray what you don't want to kill. And consider finding a grub hog or a brush grubber. They go by a bunch of names. That will help you pull the dead plants out.
Okay. That's what I was calling for your advice on that.
I spoke
to someone that had used it, and they used a paintbrush just to, you cut it at the base, and then they painted directly on the trunk, freshly cut trunk. And, you know, don't, as you said, you wouldn't want to get that on anything else. But I'm talking thousands and thousands of these. So it's
got it.
If you've been in East Texas, you know what I'm talking about. You can't walk. There's no trails, nothing. So
I got a minor suggestion for you. Please don't take this too seriously.
Okay.
Yaupon leaf eaten raw will make you sick. However, if you remove the leaves and you dry them, kind of toast them, they make tea. And there is a rather big market for this kind of product to make a tea. I wanted to help a friend who was going to do that. They fell through on the process, but there was a big market for it. So if you got all those plants, you know, maybe there's some money in it for you.
That is a very good idea. Someone else to do it. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I wasn't going to do it. That's work. No.
Yes. It's a lot of work. And I have heard that the Native Americans often use that because it had caffeine in it.
Yep. So, yep. It makes a great tea. It's as good as any tea you would drink. But you got to process it. You got to dry it. And, I don't know how you would do that. Using the paintbrush, like you mentioned, good way to use either product. So if you cut it down and then paint the stub with one of those, that will help get rid of it.
Okay. All right. And you said you could even maybe paint Roundup on the
Yeah, I have done that on a yaupon that I couldn't get rid of, couldn't dig out or pull out, cut it flush, and painted the fresh wound with a brush and Roundup. And it appeared to work.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the advice. I will look into that and find a better way to possibly do this. So,
yeah,
I appreciate your time. Can I have time for one more question?
Quick.
You need to go? When you're putting a new lawn in, I had a neighbor that borrowed a tiller and tilled it up. I told him you're probably going to pull all the weed seeds to the surface, and then he was going to reseed with Bermuda grass to try to get it established. And my thought was you're probably going to get the weeds up. So I don't know if there's a way to, you can't really put any herbicide down to pre-emergent that'll keep the seed from germinating. Any opinions on that? How to get a freshly tilled area established?
Well, there's an advantage to turning up all those weeds. If you water the area and leave it bare for about a week to 10 days, all those weeds are going to show themselves and they'll be tiny. Then you could go through with things like the vinegar killer and kill those weeds. Let them show themselves if you're going to do that, then kill them. It just means you have bare ground for 10 days to 2 weeks. Then put your seeds down and you'll have fewer seeds in turf when it starts growing.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, I appreciate your time, Jeff. You have a wonderful
Thanks. Day. You too. Have a good day, Todd. Thanks for the call. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I need to take a quick break.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Looks like the rain is finally backing off. Maybe dry for the rest of the day, or at least until later this afternoon. I wound up with 3/4 of an inch over the day. That was all. I'll take it because we got rain scheduled for the rest of the week. So I have a feeling I'm going to get that 1 inch of rain I was looking for. It just may take its time. Won't get it in one run. I got a text here, and this is a good idea. Let's say you've built a garden bed, okay, raised sides, the whole bit. But you don't want to have to fill the bed completely with soil. Maybe it's 12 inches of edging, maybe it's 24 inches high. That's a lot of soil to put in there. It won't hurt anything to do so, other than your wallet. What can you use to fill up the bed, say 50% or more? Remember, in a growing area, you would like to have at least 8 inches of soil. More is better, but 8 inches. If I have a 24 inch deep bed, that means I have 16 inches of soil that I don't know if I want to fill that up. That's a lot of dirt. That's expensive. That's twice as much as I need to grow things with. So what can you use? I have seen people take and use drinking water bottles, empty them, twist the top on them, and lay them in the bottom. The problem with these, they're not very strong. So too much soil will crush them. So maybe you need a lot of bottles. You can use what's called riprap. When they break up the road, you'll have all these chunks of leftover concrete. You can take those and put them in the bottom. If you have leftover brick, or maybe you have broken pieces of cinder block, those can be used as fill. They will work well to take up space. Just understand, no matter what you fill it with, the soil above it is going to slowly work its way down into the gaps. That's not a bad thing. You should be adding compost to your bed every year anyway. But as this soil is leached down into the gaps of whatever you used, it just means the height of the soil in the bed will go down. Now, I know people that will fill it with junk, rocks, I mean. They'll even fill it with tree branches. That's an actual technique called hugel culture, so that they're not having to fill it with soil. But if the soil leaches down into those gaps, you're having to put soil on top again. Fill the bed with the junk, whatever you decide to use, and then cover it with landscaping cloth. Landscaping cloth will breathe, will drain, and if you put the soil on it, it's going to help restrict that soil from going down into all the little cracks. It's kind of like how they build a road, or how you put in a pathway. You put down road base. And road base is like these almost golf ball size stones that they put in place and run over with a roller, and then put slightly smaller on top of it to get a good solid foundation. You can do the same in a garden bed. You do not have to fill the garden bed top to bottom. You really want to make sure that you can get a good 8-inch layer for most of our veggies. They'll do great with that depth. After that, you can fill it in with neutral things. You got a bunch of leftover cordwood? You can use that. That'll actually help hold water. You got construction materials like cinder block, broken cinder block, mortar, leftover products like that. Those are neutral. You can fill it with that and cover it with the cloth and the soil. And guess what? You got a bed. And you didn't have to spend a lot on soil that you really aren't going to use. So that's an easy way to make a good bed. Got a question here. Citrus leaves turning yellow. Yeah, they do that. In most cases, not every case, it's from excess water. Folks, it's been Gardening Naturally. Top of the hour. We'll break for the news. I will talk to you next week.